Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
I was telling the team yesterday that they are parental figures in our movement. For those of you who don't know, this church is not just on its own here in Brisbane. We are a part of a movement of churches globally. I believe there are over 600 churches in 73 nations. So Every Nation is not just the name of our church. It's a prophecy of where we want to go. We want to move in every nation. So Australia represents one of those nations. And the two guests that we have are leaders in our movement. They're parental figures, meaning they are pastors of pastors of pastors. And so I'm kind of third, fourth, fifth generation. Not to say that they're old. They are not old. They've been pastoring for 30 years since they were two. So we're really blessed to have them. Some of my heroes, they are, but also their sons in the Lord and their daughters in the Lord. Pastor Scott Dalma, who's our apostolic leader in Japan, who leads all of the churches in Japan and his whole team there. Pastor Scott Dalma leads one of the bigger churches in Japan. And so, again, this is the spiritual heritage of this couple. Also, Pastor Norman Nakanishi. Many of you know who Pastor Norman Nakanishi is. Again, another spiritual son. Just so many. I can go on and on. I won't. But they're from Hawaii. They may not look like they're Hawaiian, but they are Polynesian. They are. They're Pacific Islanders like you and I. And they prefer to be called uncle and auntie rather than pastor. They are pastors, okay? So recognize them as pastors and apostolic leaders in our movement, but they're more about relationship. And that's what I love about Pastor Sam and Pastor Nancy, or Uncle Sam and Auntie Nancy. So I'm going to hand the rest of the service over to them. Please stand to your feet. Give a warm round of applause for Pastor Sam and Nancy Webb.
Aloha, Brisbane Every Nation Church. We're so glad to be with you. We've heard about you, and we've known Rebecca's parents who planted the church, and we're so grateful for Nellie and Sweet Teen who came and to carry it on farther. We're grateful that everybody's got a part in building the kingdom of God. You are important to this church. Did you hear what I said? You are important to this church. You're going to make a difference here in the city of Brisbane, in the campuses, where you work, where you live. You're the light that's shining in a dark place. We're just so happy with you. We love Pastor Tina, and I'm Pastor Tina, Pastor Nellie and Tina. And we just want to say thank you for your great hospitality. We've just enjoyed being with you so far, and going to enjoy having a great service the rest of the day. God bless you.
Aloha, y'all. I'm from Texas originally. And it's wonderful to be here. When we considered coming to Australia, our desire was to visit you guys. It was not just to come to we have a leaders conference, and which that was a byproduct, but we really wanted to visit Brisbane. Pastor Ken and Renee send their greetings to you. I just talked to Pastor Ken before I left. And, of course, we wanted to just come and hang out with Pastor Nellie and Tina and get to meet all the old great folks. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I want to speak to you today about a subject I call the spiritual family. None of us... Did anybody come from a perfect family here? Nobody raised your hand. If you did, you're lying. We want to talk to you and just after the meeting. But, you know, you didn't come from a perfect family. And when you get married, I know it's going to be the very first perfect family. But your family's not going to be perfect. I married the last perfect wife for all the single guys here. And there are none other. I mean, I know that there are a lot of perfect women here, but I don't know any of them. but I got the last perfect one. And several years ago, my brother and I put together a family reunion, and we actually pulled it off. And it was interesting and kind of scary at the same time. I met Webbs that I had never seen before, but they looked like me. It was scary, Pastor Nelly. These are people that, and I'm sure, you know, you've had those kind of experiences where you meet extended family and all of a sudden you see the family resemblance. Well, this is, God has called us as a people to be a part of a spiritual family. And this is not just a church. This is a spiritual family. And I think it's really important for us to understand that, because the values of every family are really important. When I grew up as a kid, I used to always say, when I wanted to do something, I would say, "But Dad, the kids down the street get to do that." And my dad's favorite answer, which all of you remember that answer, "You don't live down the street. You live here. This is what the Webbs do." And so we celebrate all spiritual families, and we really do. And thank God for every congregation that's in the city of Brisbane, and we celebrate that. But it's important for you to understand who you are and the implant and the values of which you're built upon as a spiritual family. The Bible says, and this is found in Psalm 68, verse 6, that the Lord settles the solitary in a home. He leads them out, leads out the prisoners to prosperity. This is a picture. He takes individuals like myself and yourself. I came into a congregation like this as a confused college kid. I was really confused. And that group of people reached out to me and really loved me and valued me. In other words, God sees you and I as individuals. We come from our individual families. You celebrate your ethnicity. Whatever your ethnicity is, celebrate that. But all of us have things in our ethnicity that we know that is not of God. A lot of our backgrounds, we have those kind of things. And so he puts us in a spiritual family so we can grow and develop and learn tremendous things. And we came in, I came in with all loaded with all kinds of spiritual bondages in my life. But God began to set me free as an individual and change Sam Webb's life. That's where I met Nancy. Whoa. Yeah. We've been married 48 years. I was 2, she was 3 when we got married. That was a joke. When he says he puts a solitary in a home, the word home means to build, rebuild, establish, cause to continue. My daughter has friends. And recently, maybe a couple of years ago, their 10-year-old little girl had a really bad day at school. I mean, like a really bad day. And that child was so troubled that the child jumped off a 10-story building and committed suicide. We want to be people that embrace, pull people, find people that are broken and bruised and battered, and bring them into the house of God and see them healed, whole, and prospering. Can you say amen to that? So I'm going to look at, and I'm not going to read all of this. It's in Acts chapter 20, if you want to follow along in the scriptures. And it's where one of the main leaders of the church in the book of Acts had helped start a spiritual family in a city called Ephesus. And as he helped start that spiritual family there, he was making one last visit to the leaders there. And he knew when he made that visit to them, he would never see them again. Now, when I was 14 years of age, some of you have had this experience, watching TV with my dad that night, had a good time together. The next morning, he didn't wake up. He went to be with the Lord. You know, we have those kind of situations where we're never going to see a person again. But Paul had built these people on a spiritual foundation and a spiritual family that he was going to visit them again and bring a challenge to them concerning their spiritual condition and what they're going to do with their lives. My voice is a little weak here, so I'm not going to try to project it too much. So first of all, in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, the Bible says it from Miletus, that's where Paul had pulled into a certain island. He sent to this city called Ephesus, it's in Asia Minor, and he called for the leaders of the church. And they had a relationship that had been built into their spiritual family in Ephesus. And so he called them together. Now, this is a very important thing for you to think about. Where and to whom are you committed to? You see, who can call you to a spiritual gathering? Who has enough authority in your life? When I was a kid, my dad whistled. What that meant was, come running. When he whistled twice, that must mean pick up the speed, come running faster. And when it's important that the power of a spiritual family, we can call people together. And this is what he did. He called these leaders together, and he found out who they were and where they were committed. And as we go through this, I want to rehearse values, but also want to challenge you as an individual concerning where are you committed? What family are you a part of? If you're here visiting today, we celebrate that you're here visiting. But we want to see you grow, not just be a visitor. We want to see spiritual growth within your life. Over the years, I have I've traveled a lot. And I've gone many, many different nations. I grew up as a kid in Texas. Only got out of Texas twice as a college kid. But now I've been to 60 different nations. But wherever I go, I find people there that don't have spiritual family. Pastors and leaders, they don't really have spiritual family. And so This is a very important statement, and I'd like for you to write this down. You can bless many things, but you can only ultimately build with spiritual, with family. You can bless many things, but you can really only build with family long term. And I want you to think about that. And I've got a very important saying we're all going to repeat at different times. Family is family is family is family. Say that with me. Family is family is family is family. Now, you know what? My family may not be the best one on planet Earth, but it is my family. Right? And you need to celebrate your family. Everybody say, yay. Yeah. I mean, whatever is in your family, whoever is in your family, and I'm just talking about in the natural, celebrate. You had a mom and dad, whatever the circumstances were that you came into this world, somebody loved you and brought you into existence. And first of all, God the Father loved you so far beyond what you can imagine, and he's looking out for your life, so he wants you to grow in a family. And look, think with me. Some of you did not have good families growing up. You had very bad examples as parents. I deplore that. I'm sorry for that. I wish it had never happened. But guess what? You and I have the opportunity to change things. That's good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. And good news is you can make a difference in your own life as well as other people's lives by being a part of a spiritual family. So let's say a very important statement. Family is family is family is family. One time I got an email from Rebecca's sister, and she put down at the bottom, Uncle Sam, I remember what you said. Family is family is family is family. Family, we need to celebrate family. Celebrate the values. If you had not a good upbringing, ask the Lord to heal those areas of your life that are lacking. I mean, for a number of years, I had an insecurity in my life. Right the time when I needed a dad in my life, my dad was not there as a 14-year-old kid. So, but celebrate that I had him 14 years. Yay! Whatever your circumstance, celebrate it. Family is what? Family is family is family. So you can bless many things, but you can ultimately only build with family long term. But number two, family is a place of developing transparency. You and I didn't grow up just being transparent with other people. When Paul called them together, he made these statements. You know, from the very first day, in what manner I always lived among you. He said, I wasn't trying to cover up my life. I was learning. I developed a transparency. And this is what we learn in the house of God. When you're in your family, we use the term in the States, in the U.S., you can let your hair down. You can be yourself. You can learn to be transparent. And here's what we learn when we come into the house of God. This is a place of protection. And you can learn transparency. You can share your life with other people. You can learn to open your lives to other people. And it's not going to be when you open your life, somebody says, oh, God, what did you do? I've never done anything like that. I mean, we've all messed up. How many have messed up in life before? Come on, raise your hands and your feet in the air. I mean, we've all messed up. Come on. My mom was an alcoholic. She loved me, but she messed up a lot. And my mom messed up my sister's life because of our alcoholism. And you can go on and on, the kind of things that happen in family life. But it's a place of transparency, and it's a place where we open our lives to God, and we can find the living God in the middle of those situations. This is a place of transparency. Paul began to share the kind of transparency. Man, he said, I had humility. I served the Lord with great humility, many tears. I was tested to the max, man. And he said, I kept back nothing. I was generous with you guys, proclaiming, teaching, testifying. He said, this is one thing. My mom, bless her heart, she was super prejudiced. I mean, like, prejudice to the max. Maximum. And my dad hated prejudice. He hated. I was playing Little League ball, baseball. There was a black boy on the other team. One of the dads from my team, one of the boys' dads, ran out on the field, grabbed him, took him off the field because there was a black boy on the other team. What a sad statement of life. Celebrate your culture, but don't isolate from anybody else. He said, we celebrate that there's Jews and there's Gentiles. Hey, that's a great thing about the Every Nation family. We got Every Nation inside of here today. I mean, look how many different ethnicities are in this room right now. Just blessed to see David here from Penang. Know his dad. So, you know, and to see all Hong Kong, how many different nations are represented here? Wow. I love my ethnicity. Celebrate your ethnicity, but it's not any better than anybody else's ethnicity. There is no favorite nation status on the globe. I know you should love your country. I love the fact that I'm an American. You should love the fact that you're Fijian, Tongan, whatever ethnicity you have. But there's no favorite nation status anywhere. So there's a power of a multinational family. There's a power. We learn repentance toward God. We learn about the power in family, about a clean life. The importance when you learn to deal with the issues in your life. Sam Webb learned to deal with sin in his life in the spiritual family. You're not going to find that in your textbook in university. How do you get a clean life? You're not going to find that in the textbook for your job, how to have a clean life. But guess what you're going to learn in spiritual family? How to have a clean life. And everybody said, amen. Come on. Everybody said, amen. We learn the value of dealing with issues in our lives. We learn the value of dealing with sin in our life. Sin will destroy me. It will destroy you so quickly. And we learn the power of connecting to the living God. People taught me. I had a nurse and a couple that they were older than my parents, sat me down and began to pour life into me as just a confused college kid. They were part of our church. And they began to say, Sam, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Sam, get up and pray. Sam, read your Bible. Sam, come on, get with it. See, there's a power in the spiritual family, and power of encouragement, power of saying, hey, let's stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's move on. Let's deal with these issues in our lives. That's what spiritual family is all about. Is that right? Are you here? The third thing is the family is a place where we learn accountability. Wow. When Paul was set himself to go to Rome, people felt to give him the bad news. There was accountability. One of the prophetic brothers came up and said, Paul, I'm sorry to say, but I have to be accountable to the Lord. You're going to have chains and you're going to have tribulation. Wow, who likes that kind of prophecy? I don't want that kind of prophecy. But you see, there was an accountability. Somebody heard that from the Lord. And we're not that we're giving bad prophecies. That's not the issue. Auntie Nancy and I gave a bunch yesterday. I hope they weren't bad in your life. But we need people that will be accountable enough to tell us the truth.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Not just what we want to hear.
Yeah.
Hey, that was good. But you know what we learn in the house of God? Ultimately, Sam Webb will be accountable to the living God. That's what I learned in spiritual family. Sam, you're going to have to stand in front of God one day and give an answer for the way you live this life. Whoa, I mean, that's, see, he began to challenge them, these leaders, and began to say, you have an accountability to the flock, but you have an ultimate accountability. Everybody point upwards to me like that. I am going to stand, say this with me, I am going to stand before the living God and give an account to him. Now, I didn't learn that, Rebecca, at university. I didn't learn that on my jobs. I learned that in the house of God. That one of these days, I'm going to look into the eyes of the Lord and have to give an account for my life. That shows the value of spiritual family. We're not going to come to the end of our lives and take our last breath and we have to stand in front of God and says, never knew that was going to happen. You have heard it in the spiritual family today. Every single one of us are going to stand and give an account to God. So that's a safety. That's a safety of the house of God. Sam, you're accountable. You're accountable to God. I have the two fears in life. I have the fear of God and the fear of Nancy Webb in my life. Yeah. That blonde is very powerful. I mean, she looks. We better not go there, right? I will, say that with me, I will answer to him. You're going to learn that in the house of God. The fourth thing, the family is a place where we learn perpetuity. That's a big $4 word, $5 word. That means a lasting thing. I learn things that go beyond, and this is where I learned these things, was in the house of God, that go beyond Sam Webb and even my life. I learned things that, wow. And do you know what? I'm reading you today a charge that was given to the spiritual family leaders nearly 2,000 years ago. and it's still alive today. You see, can't you say that's perpetuity? When he got in front of these guys and he says, look, guys, he gave them a charge, and that charge has gone, went to them, went to the next generation, now it's come down to 2015, staring me straight in the face, and you. So that's perpetuity. That means the command keeps on going. And there's things that we build our lives on, and that's what I want to build my life on, things that are going to go beyond just my life. And here's the simple things. I'd be burdened about my own. Here he said, keep watch over yourselves. Say that with me. Keep watch over myself. And then you point your finger at me, and I'll point my finger at you. Keep watch over yourself. Say it to me. Come on. Say it to me. And you keep watch over yourself. You see, we learned that in the house of God. We learned that in the spiritual family. We need to be burdened about the flock of God. Keep watch over the flock. And I give you this charge as people. If somebody's missing, ask what's up with them. Don't judge them. Say, get your cell phone after the service and say, call them and say, are you okay? Don't say, where were you today? Say, are you okay? Is something going on in your life? Sometimes people are sick. Sometimes they've had a really tremendous, difficult thing that's happened in their lives. And that's where we learn this, in the house of God. I didn't never know that I was going to be a pastor. I just noticed when people were arguing with one another, I wanted to help settle that argument. I just noticed when people were out of church, I wanted to find out where they were. You see, we learn those kind of things. We are our brother's keeper. You need to be concerned about those beyond yourself. So keep yourself in contact with God. Keep yourself in contact with the fellowship, and take the responsibility seriously of helping your spiritual family. Now here's a warning. I've been around longer than most of you here. And Paul warned, and I pass this warning on to you as a spiritual family, somebody is going to try to take you out of the flock. Somebody, it may be something that happens, wish it never would, but Paul says, there's going to be wolves that are going to walk in the door. You know, I'm a real nice guy. But you know, when I see guys coming in preying on the girls, I can get really mad. And I can carry a big stick. I mean, I look like a nice guy. And I am a nice guy. But I don't want people preying on the flock. Does that make sense? Used to live on the tiny island of Guam. And there were a lot of sailors would come into our church. And they'd sail in and they'd sail out. And some of them would prey on the young ladies in our church. I mean, it could be the same way some of the young ladies, you generally don't have that preying on the men in the church, but generally have it just the opposite, right? Is this okay to talk to you like this? This is the value. This is a family chat. This is family talk. And this is what spiritual family is all about. He warned them. The Bible says night and day for 3 years, somebody's going to try to come in and separate you from the flock. Well, I mean, wow. I've had a lot of things that have tried to separate me from the house of God. People said horrible things to me. Why would they say that to me? I'm a nice guy. I don't know. Joking. Come on, laugh. I have had people say, you're going to die. Well, that's scary. That's a nice feeling. You know, thank you for that word. Oh, boy. Got any other prophecies in there? Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a guy call me in the middle of the night and says, I got a gun. Now, he was the kind of guy that was crazy enough that he would do something with that. And this guy was in our church at one time, and So he's just giving warnings, and I'm giving you a fatherly warning. The enemy will try to separate you from the spiritual family. Can you receive that? Can you say a big, loud, come on. And what is it? Family is family is family is family. And he said, people are going to rise up in the middle of misleading people, dividing the flock. And when he would talk to them, and these are just spiritual family talk. He said, I commit you. Here's this word. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. What that means is they have a relationship and a life that is pleasing to God. He challenged them about their obedience to God. He challenged them about their obedience to his word. He challenged them concerning their relationship to the spiritual family. Now, the found challenge that he gave, and I want everybody to look at me very closely. All of us constantly are under financial pressure. I mean, Australian dollar is down. You know, the last time I was here, the American dollar was down. You know, I mean, the fluctuations in life, students, hey, you don't have any money. I learned to eat a lot of things when I went to university that I didn't like because that was all was served, you know. And, you know, no more money. But here's the simple thing that we learn in the house of God. God is our source. If you don't, I mean, he can say, go, we don't have money for taxes. Go catch some fish. And in that fish's mouth, there's going to be some coins. Hey, I never have caught a fish that had coins in the mouth. I've caught a lot of fish in my life. But there's miraculous, he is our provider. Say that with me. He is my provider. A lot of people get out of spiritual relationship with God because they get pressured financially. God is your source. I don't care how smart of a businessman you are or businesswoman you are, how you're going to is your source. And that was the last challenge. I learned in the house of God how to trust God. I learned in spiritual family. I mean, there's times when no more money, nothing in the pocket. And I didn't go rob a bank, rob a store. God is my source. What? Say it with me. God is my source. That's what you learn in spiritual family. You see, he doesn't just teach you how to pray. He teaches you the very vital and important things that he is your source. He's the one that provides. When they had about 15,000 people for dinner one day, And Jesus told them, feed the multitude. So Peter was hungry, and Andrew was hungry, and Andrew went and looked in the boy's sack lunch. And Andrew wanted to eat that, but he thought, well, I better take it to Jesus. And when he took that 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, Jesus took that, put his blessing upon it, and it fed. Well, it's not just, it was 5,000 men. There's always more women and children in any meeting, right? Probably 15,000 were there. And those doubters, like you and I are sometimes, he said, break it and you go feed them. Can you imagine how foolish those guys felt? There's 15,000 people sitting there. And all of a sudden, he says, okay, here goes. As he got over there and they took that, and there was more. Whoa, this is exciting. Things are multiplied in the house of God, in the presence of God. Things transpire when God puts his hand. We learn these things in the house of God. Now, I want to wrap this up real quick. How's our time, Pastor Nelly? What can you do about what you heard? So that's, you're funny, Uncle Sam. Come on, give me. No, that's not what it's all about. First of all, what can you do? First thing is inquire. Write this down. If this is not your spiritual family, ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to be? Maybe you're making a choice today where you want to be. This is a great spiritual family. We'd love to have you here. I happen to be a part of Every Nation Church in Hawaii. Great values, great family worldwide. It's great that students can come here from different nations and find a spiritual family. But ask the Lord, Lord, is this where you want me to be? There's a lot of great churches around, but is this where you want me to be? So inquire of the Lord. The second thing is invest. If you're part of this spiritual family, today, recommit yourself. Your time. People took time to come here today. It wasn't just cool playing these instruments. They took time to develop their gifts and to bless you. Now, if I were to lead you in worship today, it wouldn't be the same experience that you had here today. So something, and my wife said, that's right. You see, someone invested their time. You know, invest your time. Secondly, invest your talents. Whatever gifts you've got, invest them. I can't sing. I used to lead worship when our church was really tiny. Just my wife and myself, actually. Nobody else joined us. One time there was a great worship service going on. And I leaned over to my brother-in-law and I said, who's leading tonight? He said, oh, I forgot to ask somebody. I jumped up and led one of the best worship services I've ever led in the church. I was the only one, but, you know. And talents. You have tremendous talents invested in your life by God. You didn't get all of that by yourself. invest that. And treasures. Time, talents, and treasures. You have treasures. There's times when I could only give $1. There's times when I've been able to give more than that. And there's times when you may only have $1. There's times when you wanted to give, you know, $5, and all you had was a $10 bill. And reluctantly, you put that in there. And the Lord says, you only got credit for $5 because you didn't want to put in. joking. Invest. Go beyond your comfort zone. Take your time. Take your talents. Take your treasure. The last thing is invite others to become part of this spiritual family. There are people that you know that they're like a ship without an anchor. They're like a boat without a rudder. Their life is just pushed here and pushed there. If they could be a part of a spiritual family, and that's what Sam Webb was, as a confused, mixed up kid that came part of a spiritual family, and I began to grow. Those of you that are from other nations that have come here as students, invest yourself. Invite other friends. Grow. Become all that God wants you to be in this spiritual family. It's a place where you and I, it's a place where we, it's the power of family. It's a place of developing transparency. It's a place of accountability. And it's a place of continuity or perpetuality or perpetuity. Would you just bow your head with me if the worship team could come forward? I'm not sure where you are in your spiritual journey. Maybe every single one of you are part of this spiritual family. But I do know this. This is a good spiritual family. Has good leaders. And a place where you can actually grow. If you're a student, especially, you need relationships that can help protect you. If you're a businessman, a businesswoman, a mom, a dad, you can be encouraged in the house of God. You can find a place of growth. And I'd just like to ask you in your heart to just say, Lord, help me to really be planted, to grow, to develop my life. Could you just bow your head for a moment? Father, I thank you for this whole group of people today. Thank you that you know exactly where they are. And I do ask you that by your grace you would draw them to yourself. They would become the person that you want them to be. And Lord, that they would begin to experience a family atmosphere and find that place of commitment. Lord, if this is not the place you want them committed, lead them to the right place to be committed. Just as our heads are bowed, if you as an individual, maybe you say, wow, I don't even know what this is all about. There was a time when I didn't know what it was all about either. There's a place where you can find faith and respond to Jesus Christ. There's a place where you can really make your declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. And someone prayed this prayer with me when I was a confused 14-year-old kid. And that prayer went deep inside my heart. And I would like to just ask you today, if you've never prayed a prayer of receiving Christ into your life, that you just pray this prayer. And just as a matter of confession of every single person here, let's all make this prayer something that you and I confess Christ in today. If you've never prayed this prayer, pray it in faith. If you've already received Christ into your life, pray it as a declaration of your faith afresh. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. I recognize that I need you. I need you in my life. I acknowledge that I've done wrong against you, against other people. I ask you to forgive me, and I open the door of my life to receive Christ as my Savior, as my Lord, and my Master. Jesus, come into my life. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, just see one of the leaders or one of your friend that brought you today. The importance of you not only receiving Christ, but to become a follower of Christ is where it's all about. And that can be found in the house of God. God bless you.
Thank God for that great word from Uncle Sam. Can we give him a round of applause to the Lord? Thank God for his word. Thank you so much, Pastor Sam. I have the awkward job of closing the service while playing the keyboards. And especially after such an anointed word. My encouragement for all of us, and I know we have many visitors here, I just want to echo the words of Pastor Sam. For those of you who don't call Every Nation Brisbane home, you know, my encouragement to you would be to find home, find where it is. You know, we're not the sort of church, and I'm not the sort of pastor that's insecure and says that everybody that steps through the doors is called to walk here. We want you to find where God's called you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:18 that God places us in the body as he sees fit. So it's God's idea, not the yellow pages or the Google. You know, so we want to really encourage you to find home. And if you haven't found home, you're welcome to visit and just enjoy the presence of God here. But remember, it's more about where God's called you to walk as spiritual family. And this is one of the values of this house. We value worship. We value discipleship. We value outreach. And we value spiritual family. And so this is really heavy. And it's so great to have, you know, someone who is a father figure in our movement to come and speak to us like a spiritual father and challenge us to continue to walk in the light of the spiritual family. Because how many of you know sometimes the hardest people to love and the hardest people to hear from is family? You know, when you hear correction and you hear all that sort of stuff, the words of love, they call them. You know, oh, you know, my mom used to tell me, you know, I'm telling you this because I love you. And then she'd proceed to tell me things that didn't look anything like love. But I'm thankful for those words. Just know that this is the sort of environment. If you stick around and you call this place home, trust me, you're going to grow and you're going to thrive in everything that God has for you. Because God's will and God's destiny is never individualistic. It's always done corporately. It's always done in family. And God sets the solitude in family. So, you know, that's my prayer for all of you. If you're here and you're visiting and you know, your desire and that word that Pastor Sam spoke to your heart, and if you want to hear more about Every Nation, please do come up. We'd love to pray for you and tell you a little bit more about Every Nation. We'll be up the front here. I'll be bless you. You are dismissed. Stand to your feet. Just one more prayer for the road. Father, we thank you for spiritual family. We thank you for the wonderful word that you've deposited in our hearts. Lord, we commit, Lord, those of us who call this place home, we commit ourselves to one another as you've knitted us and as you've seen fit for us to walk. Let us walk, Lord God, in all of those things that have been prescribed by your word today. We thank you, Lord, for spiritual family. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us through the weekdays, the W-E-A-K days and the W-E-E-K days, Lord. Lord, when we are weak, you are strong. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go. You are dismissed. Have a great week ahead.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.